Blog Talk Radio.
Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this is Black by Color Only on CNM Radio, where I will speak truth to the black nation. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the mainstream liberal black agenda. Hopefully, you'll get something from this show. And if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect, or you'll find yourself in danger of the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat-free program. You are listening to Black by Color Only. Well, what's up, everybody out there? All you good people. Happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, all that other good stuff. It has been a very long minute since I've been with you guys. I think it's been about 2.5 months, but I am back. I have returned, and everything seems to be going well. You know, while I was out, folks were saying that Blog Talk Radio was messing up a bit. But anyway, welcome to the show. If you would like to be a guest or call into the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter. But please be aware of the aforementioned curse of the fruit bat. If you come here and you just want to disrupt the program in any kind of way with excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, gaslighting, things of that sort, it will prompt me to push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me in your interactions on this program. Just be respectable in your conversations and your questions and your comments. You know, we're all adults here, and you know, we don't have to talk one over another, or you know, go back and forth with the, you know, the kindergarten's sand slinging matches or anything like that, you know. So just to give you all that. But anyway, well, we're in a new year, 2024. This will probably be the biggest year in a lot of our lives. Of course, we know about the upcoming elections, and you know, and lately we've been having this crazy weather, almost like the weather has COVID or something, you know. But it's winter time, so you know, the people out there talking about, you know, this is a sign of global warming, you know, this is weather. This is how weather acts. You know, no two seasons are the same, just like fingerprints, you know. My wife and I, we're hoping for some snow, you know, especially my wife, because she works at a daycare. And those of you all who know how kids are acting these days, you can understand what she's going through working in a daycare. And myself, I've been able to get some rest and, you know, try to take care of my health and everything. You know, still got some things going on. Nothing really major. Well, nothing's really major. I don't have cancer or anything like that. You know, just a few little aches and pains here that I got to get looked at, you know, get a little old, you know, despite what the name it and claim it bunch says. Yes, there's a time when you get old, you know. But a lot has been going on since I last came on the program. But just to let you all know, I got a new computer. I may have told you all the last time I was on the program, I got a new computer. Things seem to be going pretty well with it. My old computer was, it had been garbage basically from the beginning, but I got one of those little mini computers. And this one has 16 gigs of RAM and 1 terabyte. 16 gig SSD was 1 terabyte of RAM. Let me say that. And everything seems to be going good. Everything seems to be clicking clicking right and everything. So, but just to let you all know what this show is about, if this is a new year and you're just coming to this show for the first time, you know, I'm a nondescript black guy in Durham, North Carolina. You know, that's where Duke University is. The nickname for this city is the City of Medicine, because we got more hospitals than you can shake a stick at. And it's not just in Durham. We got them in Chapel Hill. We got them in Raleigh. You know, we probably have probably more hospitals than we do colleges in this area. And this is a major college area. You got Duke University, UNC Chapel Hill, and North Carolina Central University, and you got North Carolina State University, and plus you have a myriad of community colleges in this area. So if you ever live in this area, you grow up in this area, and you go off somewhere and you act stupid, you have no excuse. You know, you come out of this area well-educated. Well, let me just say this. I don't believe that that college makes you smarter. You know, a lot of people believe that. But it doesn't necessarily make you smarter. But anyway, I'm a nondescript black guy here in Durham, North Carolina. I was born in Roanoke, Virginia. Grew up in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area and decided to move down here. And I've been down here since 1988. You know, I was 19 years old when I first started living down here, and I've been living here ever since. I'm married to a lady from Liberia. We've been married now for a little more than 19 years. This year will be our 20th anniversary. Best wife in the world. Let me just say that. Best wife in the world. You know, and it's not because she's submissive to her husband. You know, my wife, when I got my wife, she came with a package. She was that type of woman who knew that, hey, I got to take care of my husband. I got to do this. I got to do that. She wasn't one of those be like, well, he's got to be making a certain amount of money and everything and stuff like that. Like some of these women are today, you know, not all of you, you know. A lot of times when you get to talking about how women are acting, people, they'll get offended and they think you're talking about all women. And I'm not saying all women. I'm saying too many of them are like that. But my wife is not one of them, you know. And I thank God for my wife, pray for her in the mornings, you know. Thank God for giving her to me. And we've been, like I said, we've been doing this thing for 19 years now. And one thing that we share together is we have a conservative view of our country. It's two things. It's two things that we share. We're both born again Christians, and we share a along with the conservative view. Now, I don't like too much to be called a conservative, just flat out. I'm a Christian who just happens to be conservative. And to be honest with you, and you can quote me on this, I really don't think a person can be a Christian and be a liberal, because the liberals in this country, they serve to support things that are against God, like homosexual marriage, which is not marriage. They seek to support abortion on demand, which is not godly, because abortion on demand means, you know, you're terminating a pregnancy, a human life, before it gets a chance to exist outside of the mother's womb. You know, and a lot of people come up with these excuses about, you know, abortion, you know, oh, this is women's health and this is proper women's health care. I don't know where they get that abortion is proper women's health care. I don't know where they get that stuff from. And to hear black people support it the way they do without realizing the history of Planned Parenthood, you know, Planned Parenthood was created by a woman named Margaret Sanger, who did not like black people. She supported the cleansing tactics of the Nazis. She supported the Ku Klux Klan. But today you got black women talking about, oh, we need abortion because this is our health care, and it has nothing to do with health care. It certainly isn't health care for the unborn child. You know, the unborn child would love to get some health care, you know, but people, they get caught up in a lot of these things. And a lot of it is being fed by our news media. Our news media has done a disservice to the citizens in this country. Be you black, white, Hispanic, Chinese, whatever, you know, it has done a disservice to the citizens in this country, because our news media, as a in general, has taken a stance that they want to take sides. They want to believe in the liberal mindset. The liberal mindset is the mindset that says we don't want to hear anything about God. We don't want to hear anything about decency. Basically, we want to be able to do whatever we feel like it. Whatever we feel like, you know, we just want to go out here and party hardy and everything, and not have to meet the consequences of, you know, someone, you know, quote unquote, condemning us with their speech. We don't want a theology, a theocracy, because they think, you know, born again Christians are trying to turn the United States into a theocracy, which I can tell you that if a person calls himself a Christian and they're trying to turn this country into a theocracy, that person is not a Christian. When Jesus came to this earth, he didn't say, take over nations. Now, that would be nice if the whole nation was Christian. I think this nation would be better for it, will be better off for it. But that's not our purpose. Our purpose is to share the gospel. And those who will hear it, you know, they'll act accordingly. Those who don't hear it, you know, hey, it's nothing we can do about that. We can't put you in a full Nelson. We can't force you into a chokehold and say you better get born again. That's not what Jesus was about. And a lot of people, they try to line up Christianity with certain atrocities that happened in our past. You know, because you have people who call themselves Christians, but because of their actions, you know that they weren't. The Bible says you will know them by the fruit that they bear. And see, a lot of people, they don't understand that. And see, the problem is the world hates Jesus already. The world hates Christianity anyway. And so they'll believe anything that's negative said about Christianity without looking into it themselves. I call it hater syndrome, you know, because you hate something or somebody so much, if you hear a negative comment about that object or that person, you'll automatically believe it without really digging in and saying, let me see what this is all about. You might read, you know, certain historical facts quote-unquote facts, you know, oh, this is where Christianity come from. Oh, this is where Christianity come from. Oh, look at this. It says Christians, you know, they killed people who didn't believe like they did. Let me tell you something. That is not Christian. Now, I'm not on this show to preach or anything like that. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a minister. Well, I'm a minister of the gospel. And a lot of times I come on this show, I talk about what's wrong with our, you know, with the black race, which what's going on with the black race. A lot of people don't like that. And see, the reason why I say what I do about the black race is because I'm coming from my Christianity. See, black, what I'm seeing today in the black race among our so-called black leaders and the apostles of blackness and all this and everything, they seem to want to put the burden of the world's problems or their problems, let me say that. They want to put the burden of their problems on a certain group of people. Anything that goes wrong, it's this certain group of people who is responsible for it. Oh, black people are shooting up their neighborhoods? Oh, that's not our fault. That's that other group's fault. Oh, we have fatherless homes? That's not our fault. That's that other group's fault. Oh, our kids don't get a good education? Oh, that's not our fault. That's their fault. And I basically come from an area of the truth to cut through this crap. That's why I've been doing this show now for, it'll be about 20 years now. No. Wait a minute. No. Let me take that back. I messed up my math. I need to go back to kindergarten and learn how to do my math. I started this show in 2009, so that means I've been doing this for 15 years, off and on. And, you know, a lot of, and it seems like since 2009, things have only gotten worse in the black community, despite who we voted for, you know, because a lot of times we'll get out here, we'll be like, okay, let's vote for this person. If we vote for this person, things will get better, without realizing that the burden of responsibility goes on the individual to create change in their communities. But they think that by them throwing a slip of paper into a slotted box, that that's going to change things for them without them going out and being active in their communities. I'll be honest with you. There is no reason for any community to be overrun with drugs, for fatherless homes to be overrun with dirt and filth and trash. There really is no excuse for it. If we would all just say, okay, you all, let's stop the madness. Let's cut this. Let us rise up. Yeah, we voted for so-and-so, but we can't depend on so-and-so to clean up our neighborhoods. But every election cycle, especially during the presidential election cycle, the black folks, they come, oh, did you vote? Did you vote? Did you vote? Did you? Look, ain't none of your business if I voted or not. Did you vote? Well, we gotta get some change. We gotta get some change. And you all vote for the same people every single time, and nothing gets better. And my wife and I were talking about this the other day. We were like, why doesn't something fire off in people's brains? And they say, wait a minute. We've been voting this way for 50, 60, 70 years. Our children haven't gotten smarter. Divorce is running rampant. Violence is going crazy. And we keep voting these people in, and they keep, you know, giving us these promises, but we're not seeing the promises. We're not seeing the promises that they say that they'll, you know, that they'll keep. And one thing, you know, black folks need to understand. One thing black folks need to understand is that we are being used by the liberal Democrats. They can count on our vote. They know they can count on our vote. Every time the voting cycle comes around, they know, oh, well, if nobody else votes for us, them black folks will. And every time since the 60s, about 90% of black folks always vote for the liberal Democrats, even though their cities are just crumbling because of the said policies of those liberal Democrats. Oh, your mother, you're a single mother, here. Have some, we'll give you some benefits. We'll, you know, we'll just raise the taxes on the taxpayer, give you a little bit to live off of, instead of pushing for these mothers to be responsible for their activities, instead of pushing for these fathers to be responsible for their activities. But they say, oh, well, and all they're doing, basically all they're doing is they're enabling parents to be bad parents. That's all they're doing. You know, we talk about the state our kids are in today. It's because we have lazy parents. Parents that haven't grown up. And they're in charge of children that they should be teaching how to become mature men and women when they grow up, but they haven't matured themselves. They have yet to mature themselves. But we think, you know, hey, we just throw some money here, throw some money there, everything's going to be fine and dandy. And every time we throw money, nothing gets better. Nothing gets better. We need to pass the burden of responsibility back onto the parents. Look at our schools today. These people, they come in, they take, you know, the government regulators, they take discipline out of the classroom, and then they tell the teachers, okay, now I now dub thee miracle workers. And they think that, you know, by act of miracle, that these teachers are just going to produce these productive boys and girls when they become adults. And then we tell the parents, hey, parents, you can sit on your side and, you know, you can chase your careers and whatever. And we'll take care of your children for you. And the parents are all too eager. Oh, really? Good, because I got this career, and these kids keep getting in the way of my career. So, you know, you all do your thing, I'm going to do my thing. And what it has produced is lazy, unproductive parents that really don't care about their kids, because that's the school's responsibility. It ain't my responsibility. It ain't my responsibility to have a household that is conducive to my child's education when they come home from school. School is school, but when they come home, they're free to do whatever they want to. This is one of the main reasons why abortion runs so rampant in the black communities, because people don't want to bear the responsibility of a child. But see, you should have thought about that before you laid down with that dude who told you how good you looked, and he swooned you and sweet-talked you and everything to doing the horizontal mambo to bounce the springs. And next thing you know, you got a baby, and you're like, oh, how did I get pregnant? You got pregnant because you laid up with that man. And now you want to take it out on the child and say, oh, this is going to ruin my career. I can't take care of a child. That's something you should have thought about before you lay down with that dude. And when you tell people in today's society that abstinence is the best way to keep from getting pregnant, people got things to say about that. I mean, they'll say, I have actually had people tell me that the number one reason why these teenagers are getting pregnant the way they do is because of abstinence. I said, if that ain't the stupidest thing I think I ever heard in my life, how in the world is abstinence responsible for your teenagers getting pregnant? When if you apply abstinence, 100%, it is 100% effective. You won't get pregnant. Something's not just going to come down on the wind and get you pregnant. It's a good preventative for sexually transmitted diseases as well. But what we do, what do we do today? We say, okay, well, yeah, I think it'll be best if they abstain, but you know what? They're not going to abstain, so give them a condom. Give them birth control pills. No, teach them abstinence. Tell them not to get together in the first place. They won't have to worry about getting pregnant. They won't have to worry about ruining their careers or their lives, their future lives or whatever. They won't have to worry about that. But see, we don't see it that way. And our leaders, they get up here and they start talking their junk about why black people keep falling behind. And they keep saying, well, you know, it's because we don't have the same advantages the white people have. The white people are holding us back. And you know, and I say this, and I know I say it ad nauseum. I bring it up all the time. When I entered the first grade in 1974, I was reading on a third grade reading average. You know, top 10 in Prince George's County, Maryland. That's where I grew up. And not only that, let me just say this, because I don't want people to think I'm bragging about, you know, yes, I am all this and everything. I don't want people to be thinking that. There were black people in my class. Maybe they weren't reading on the same reading level I was, but they were smarter than I was. Several of them. I've never been in the Talented and Gifted program. I know a lot of black folk who were in Talented and Gifted program when I was coming up. Never made the honor roll. I know a lot of black people who made the honor roll. I know some of you all is boggling. Wait a minute. You say you were reading on a third grade reading level, but you never made the honor roll? No, I didn't. Because I was lazy. Because I was lazy. I was real lazy. Smart as a whip, but lazy. But there were black people who were smarter than I was. And when I hear people talk about, oh, the white man is holding us back. Well, something, they must have skipped a generation or something, because during my time growing up, there were smart black people all over the place, and they weren't being held back. White folks weren't holding them back. And you know, the funny thing about it, though, here's the funny thing about it. Those black people who excelled in school when I was coming up in school, now they become adults, and now they're singing the same old song everybody else is singing today. Oh, the white man's holding us back. And they know good and well no white man held them back from being who they were. Not one white man. You hear black folk who are making $100,000, $200,000 a year, always talking about what the white man is doing. And you're making more money than the average white man does. And you're sitting here complaining about the white man. And you grew up in the same time period that I did. And you're sitting here talking about the white man kept you from doing this and the white man kept you from doing that. You're lying to yourself. You're lying to yourself. If y'all hear any noise in the background, that's my wife. My wife, she likes to watch a lot of political stuff on TV, and sometimes she'll yell at the TV, start busting out laughing or whatever. But even my wife will tell you. Now, my wife is a straight up African. Like I said before, she was born in Liberia, a place called Bami County in the northwest part of Liberia, if I'm correct. The northwest part of Liberia is a place called Bami County. That's where she was born. And she can't understand black people in this country, why you have all these opportunities and whatever, and you don't take advantage of them. She didn't get those opportunities where she grew up at. And not only that, she went through two civil wars when she lived in Liberia, went through two of them. She was a prisoner of war at one time. She can tell you some stories. But even she can come over here and say, you know, I don't understand these people. I don't understand black people in this country. You got all these opportunities. In Liberia, kids are fighting to want to go to school. In other African countries, they are fighting to go to school. They are looking forward to going to school. because they want to get an education because they know an education is going to get them out of the rut that they're in. But here in the U.S., we don't value it that much. You know why? Because our parents don't. Our parents get caught up and, you know, they start saying this thing, oh, this is a white education. This is a white education, you know, a Northern European education. You know, they listen to these stupid black leaders who really don't care about them. And they say, oh, we're getting a white education. Child wants to learn how to play the violin. I don't want you learning that white music. Are you serious? And then they'll sit there and say, well, you know, the white people that run the cities, they're keeping us back from everything. Well, I can guarantee you, in any large city in the United States, I live in Durham, which is not considered a large city, but it's one of the larger cities in North Carolina. And we have black people on our city council. Now, when the powers that be come into a neighborhood and gentrify it, they say, oh, it's these white people trying to kick out the black people because they don't want black people living in this area. But, oh, hold on. This isn't being done without the knowledge of your black city councilman. I can point out any city, Greensboro, Winston-Salem, Durham, Raleigh. You will find a handful of black people on that city council. And when they talk about, oh, well, y'all just don't like black people. Well, what about the black people on your city council? Go to Baltimore. I think Baltimore is like 90% of the people that run that city are black, and people still want to cry racism. Explain that to me. When, you know, we had the incident with Freddie Gray, people want to say, oh, it's because these racist white cops and everything. It was six other police officers involved with that incident of Freddie Gray. They were black. Oh, nobody says anything about that. Now, between October of last year and this time, I saw a movie called The Fall of Minneapolis. You can look for it on a video channel called Rumble. Rumble's like YouTube, except Rumble doesn't have all the restrictions YouTube does, you know. But I saw this documentary called The Fall of Minneapolis, and it focused on the George Floyd incident. And of course we know, you know, Derek Chauvin, you know, he got put in prison. And when I first heard about the George Floyd incident, I was like, you know, what was Chauvin thinking? What was Derek Chauvin thinking? What was he doing? Why did he put his knee on that man's neck? But if you looked at the photo a little closely, you find out his knee wasn't on George Floyd's neck. It was on his back. Now, when I saw that, I was like, okay, it was on his back, but he should have known, you know, not to keep his knee in his back so long and whatever, yada, yada, yada. That was a bad look. But until you look at their policy states, if you have somebody down on the ground and you have you're supposed to keep your knee in their back until medical help arrives, which is what Derek Chauvin did. Derek Chauvin did his job, and now he's in jail, almost got killed in prison for doing his job. Derek Chauvin and his cohorts that are in jail now, one of them is a black dude. Of course, they're not going to focus on that. They want to focus on Derek Chauvin. But every last one of them needs to be out of prison. They do not need to be in jail. I say that to some people. You got to be crazy. You got to be crazy. Well, when you see the evidence and stop following your emotions like a lot of us did because of our news media, they put something out there to elicit our emotions and get us to act a certain way so their ratings can go up and they can get paid more. Bet you all didn't know that was the job of our modern day news media, did you? But that's what they do. And even myself got caught up in the George Floyd thing. I never thought it was a racist thing, you know, because, you know, every time a black person has a negative reaction with a white police officer, all of a sudden it's racist. It's racist. He's a member of the Ku Klux Klan and all that crazy mess. George Floyd, I'm scared. I'm scared. You know, I got shot last year. Found out George Floyd didn't get shot. Their police chief threw their police officers under the bus. When they said, is this how you train your police officers? The police chief said, no, we don't treat them like this. Derek Chauvin's mother showed the training, the training manual that they go through. It's exactly how they train them. Exactly how they train them. And when I saw that movie, I was like, you know what? Whoo! You know, I was a little embarrassed because I was like, Derek Chauvin, he shouldn't have kept his knee in that man's back that long. It didn't look good. It just didn't look good. But now I'm totally on Derek Chauvin's side. He needs to be released from prison along with his fellow police officers. I know a lot of you all might be listening and you'll say, man, you crazy. You know, if it was a white man, they wouldn't have done that. Oh, really? You ever heard of a guy named Tony Tempa? Another guy named Daniel Shavers? Ever hear of them? Tony Tempa had a knee in his back for 14 minutes. Ended up dying. Tony Tempa was a white guy. And not only that, he had called the police officers because he had gotten off his drugs or something like that. And he was having a fit came, and somehow they ended up with their knee in his back. And he ended up dying, and the police officers were sitting there joking about it. Every last one of those police officers got exonerated. Tony Tempo was a white man. Daniel Shavers was in a hotel. Police, you know, came to his hotel room, told him to get out, told him to get on his hands and knees. And he ended up getting shot. Daniel Shavers was a white guy. Oh, we don't hear about that on the news, do we? And not only that, when someone like myself brings this information to light, a lot of you all who listen to this, you won't even go and check that information out yourself. That's sad, because you think the information that's going on the news is the information that's fit to listen to. You think that's the information that you need to be listening to. Instead of saying, you know what, the news media could be lying. I mean, think about it. These people are human just like the rest of us. Now, think about it. Are you a perfect person? Have you ever crossed every T and dotted every I? Have you? So what makes you think the news media is going to do that? And a lot of times when you bring out this new information, what's the response you get? Oh, I ain't heard that. You must be telling a lie or something. You telling a story. I ain't heard that. Oh, because you ain't heard it on the news? That means it's not true? If you have that mode of thinking, you're stupid. And the news media loves stupid people. Now, you might be a good person and everything, but you're still stupid. Because you're thinking the news media is giving you all the information that you need to hear. And see, the sad thing about a lot of us black people, we won't crack open a book to read and learn. Now, I'm not saying that just because something's in a book, that means that it's true. I'm a bookworm, you know, I can tell you that everything you read in a book is not true. But that's one of the simplest things to do is to crack open a book. Oh, I don't want to read no book. Books are boring. I actually heard a student say that. Little girl, she was in second grade. I don't like reading books. Books are boring. And I guarantee you, she learned that from her mother. People say, if you want to keep information away from a black person, put it in a book. I've been told by other black people that I read too much. You read too many books. And they tell you, you know, you got book sense, but you don't have common sense. They think I always rely on books. Wait a minute. Me need to see them in book. Me read them book. Me hear them information. Me go to books. Books are a great way to get information, but just because the information is in a book does not mean that it is true. I understand that. I understood that a long time ago. I know people who don't read as much as I do. They're smarter than I am, but they still know how to read. They still know how to read. But a lot of our kids, especially in the black neighborhoods, it's going on in the whites, with the whites, and you know, I don't think it's going on with Asians too much. I'm not so sure about, you know, with the Chinese and the Indians and the Japanese. I don't think too many of them are illiterate. Because them rats are going to be involved in their kids, in their children's education. But a lot of us white folks, a lot of us black folks, some Hispanic folks, we don't care about our children's education. We just say, hey, you know, go to school, learn what you can. And then we leave it at that. And then when a problem arises with your child, you want to get on the school, get mad at school officials, get mad at the teachers. Because your child is falling behind. This kid up in Baltimore, a couple of years ago, he was set to graduate in a couple of months because he was a high school senior. He was one of the highest ranked kids in his school. And I think his grade point average was a 1.5. Now, he was one of the highest ranked kids in his school with a 1.5 average. He had flunked so many classes that they threatened to take him all the way back to the ninth grade and start all over again. And his mother was upset about it and said that it was the school that failed her child. No, you failed your child. The school can only do so much. It is your responsibility to raise your child. See, I don't believe in that. It takes a village. I don't know where they get that garbage from. Yeah, of course, you can insinuate people into your life that you think is going to benefit your child. But it takes two committed parents to raise a child, not a village. I know some people that disagree with me about that. That's fine. But it doesn't take a village. It takes two committed parents. And this lady talking to her child, they showed her on TV talking to her child. He's sitting there playing video games. Don't worry, son. We're going to get out of this. We're going to get out of this. We're going to get out of this. And he's sitting there playing video games. And what she should have done was unplug the video game and said, look, dude, it was my fault to let you go this long without realizing you were doing so poorly in school. 4 years in school, she didn't even know what her child was doing because, oh, it's my responsibility to chase after my career. I'm trying to make money. Instead of investing in education in my child. You don't have to be the smartest parent or anything like that. Just make your home conducive for learning. I tell people when I was growing up, we had so many reference books in my home when I was growing up. Oh, my goodness. So many volumes. We had two sets of encyclopedias. We had volumes of other science books and everything and stuff like that. And I'm talking about growing up in the 70s and the 80s. My parents had those encyclopedias in the 70s. You know how expensive encyclopedias are. But you go into most black homes now. You don't see no bookshelves. You'll see a video game console. You'll see a DVD player. The kids be sitting there watching TV. It doesn't take a lot to invest in your child's education. It doesn't. It really doesn't. Come here, Junior. Turn that TV off. Ah, Ma. Excuse me? Oh, I'm sorry, Ma. I'm sorry. Come here. Sit down. We're going to learn your timetables today. Every week, we're going to take a different column. This week, you're going to learn your one timetables. Next week, you're going to learn your twos. Next week after that, you're going to learn your threes. We're going to get this thing down pat. I remember when I was a school teacher, assistant school teacher at a school here in Durham. It was a private school, and folks, I don't sing the praises of private schools either, because a lot of these people that run the private schools, they were educated in the public schools, and they bring that mess into the private schools. But anyway, I had a contest with kids in the elementary school of this school, this private school, and I told them, anyone can tell me capitals, 50 states, 50 capitals, I'll give them $100. I still haven't given out that $100 yet. And the reason why I did that was because I was on the internet one day, and I happened to see this video of this cute little black girl. She knew her states and her capitals. She was 4 years old. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I knew my states and their capitals when I was 4 years old. She did. And I said, look at that little girl. And just spoke just as proper. 4 years old. And not only that, she had her mom and dad in the household. And the parents even said, you know, sometimes she'll correct us on how we talk. Little black girl, nondescript little black girl. And I think I saw an article about this girl about a month or two ago, and she's still, I don't know where she's gone education-wise or anything, but it doesn't take a lot to invest in your child's education. You can't depend on somebody else, because if you're depending on somebody else for the education of your child, guess what? That somebody else might say, I'm going to teach the child what I think they should learn. I'm not going to teach them what they should be learning. I'm going to teach them what I think they should be learning. That's why our kids are so stupid today. We want to teach them about wokeness and how black people are being held back by white folks and critical race theory and white supremacy and all this other stuff, and why black people, we don't own anything because the white man won't let us own anything. But there are examples of black people out there. If you would just look, you would see there are examples of black people who have made it, who have succeeded. Look at Oprah Winfrey. Can you name 10 white people that you know personally? I'm not talking about people that you saw on the news or anything. Can you name 10 white people that you know personally that have the same wealth as Oprah Winfrey? I guarantee you, you couldn't. Because Oprah Winfrey makes more money than 90% of the people in this country. 90% of the white folks, come to think of it. But we want to sit here and talk about, well, the black man, you know, we're the ones who suffer the most because the white man always want to hold us back. No, you're holding yourself back. Yeah, and you're making excuses why you're doing it. Oh, I can't do that because the white man, he's going to keep me from doing. You ever heard this thing called determination? Determination? Last year, I really wanted to, you know, get really good. I want to study photography and proofreading. And last year, I got kind of lazy. Part of it was because, you know, I had a little health scare and whatever last year. Some things happened and, you know, but one of my biggest drawbacks is procrastination. And, you know, I came to the realization, just sitting around here on my butt doing nothing is not going to help me to succeed. And I told myself this year, I didn't make a New Year's resolution. I don't make New Year's resolutions. But I told myself this year I wanted to, you know, really make an effort because I want to learn photography and proofreading. I also want to do a little voice work, you know. And I said I want at least two of these things to be accomplished this year. I want to start my own podcast, you know. And really the mindset that you have that determines how far you're going to go as far as success, you know, the hard work you're willing to put in. But a lot of us are not willing to put in that hard work. We're like, oh, it's too hard. Yes, yeah, it's going to be hard. That's the mindset I got to get out of. Yeah, this is hard. You know, learning photography, you know, learning photography isn't about just pointing your camera and just shooting. You got to learn aperture. You got to learn f-stop. You got to learn ISO. You got to learn composition, depth of field, bokeh. You got to learn all this stuff. And see, where a lot of people fail at is they want to take up something. Like, let's say you want to learn how to play the flute. Learn how to play the flute. I don't know how to play no flute. I don't think I'm going to learn how to play the flute. You know, you never know. Maybe one day I'll pick up a flute and start playing and whatever. Playing a flute is not easy. But a lot of people, they'll see someone playing a flute and then, ooh, that's cool. I want to be able to do that. And then they learn what it takes to learn how to play a flute. And they're like, instead of sticking with it, they say, you know what, I'm going to go to something else. And then next thing you know, you're going to something else. Then you're going to something else. Then you're going to, and next thing you know, you're like, wait a minute, well, what am I good at? See, I'm not too ashamed to say that about myself. But I'm not going to point my finger at another group of people and say they are the reason why. They are responsible for why I'm not good at anything. Heck, I know how to read. I can take that to my advantage and learn something. I'm not gonna be easy on myself. I'm not gonna take it easy on myself. But I said this year, by the end of this year, you know, I want to learn something new about photography. You know, I'm trying to sync my. I got speed flashes, I got the umbrellas, I got the backdrops and everything, and I really want to learn photography. Photography has been something I've loved since I was a kid, and the love really took off in the 90s, but because I was committing myself to something else, I dropped photography for about 20 years before I got back into it again. Now I'm in my 50s, but I'm not sitting here saying, oh, time is running out. Yeah, time might be running out, but I'm not going to sit back and say, okay, well, I'm too old now, so I'm not going to do that. Proofreading either, you know, proofreading, one of the major reasons why, you know, I got into proofreading was because I am tired of going on social media and seeing people who don't know the difference between then and than. They're like they are. And T-H-E-I-R, which is a pronoun. People mixing up, don't even know how to use the right words in their sentences. And some of these people are people I know I went to school with. And I'm like, how in the world are you doing this? Now, a lot of times you can blame the spell checker. Yeah, you can. Because I've had the spell checker mess me up a couple of times, but it's too many people doing this. Way too many people. And you're not going to tell me it's because of the spell checker. And I said, you know what? Maybe I could do proofreading as a business. And lo and behold, I get on the internet and look up proofreading and find out someone's got proofreading classes. I said, wow, this is amazing. But things are not going to take off if I don't stick with it. That's the problem. A lot of us, we face a challenge, but we don't stick with the challenge. And then next thing you know, we look back and we see everybody else succeeding. And we're like, well, you know, how come I'm not succeeding? And then you want to blame the white man. And we can give you examples of people like Herman Cain. Who's that guy, the brain surgeon, Ben? I don't know why I keep saying Ben Crump. It ain't Ben Crump. I wouldn't dare have my child be like a Ben Crump. But when you bring up these examples, people just totally ignore it. They think you have some innate talent within you. Some people have the talent. Don't get me wrong. You have people who are great singers. A lot of them, they were born with that ability. Now, some people, they had to go, they said, hey, I want to be a singer. They went to school, learned how to, you know, to pitch and tone of their voice and octaves and all that crazy mess. And they became good singers like that too. Some of us have to work a little harder than others. And we have to realize that. And see, it's taken me a long time to learn that. Because nobody really encouraged me, said, Vincent, if you got something you want to do, just stick with it. My parents never told me that. Every time I made a mistake, I was stupid. I was stupid because, you know, my parents were the type of people, they were like, if we tell you something one time, we want you to know it from that time on. We're not patient enough to work with you through this. That's why I wish I could get with a group of parents and tell parents, hey, first of all, your children are not here to make you proud, okay? You might have expectations for them, but they might turn out some other way. You might want your child to be a basketball player, but he might want to be a computer engineer. No, look at him. Look, he's tall, and I want him to play basketball. And you're just doing that because you want to be proud of your child. And not only that, you want to benefit from that child. So when they go to the NBA and make all these millions of dollars, they can bring some of that home. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. You know I'm telling the truth. Don't look at me. I feel y'all looking at me. I'm just joking, people. But yeah, you have parents that think because their child is tall, he should know how to play basketball. And if he plays basketball, he'll make all these millions of dollars and probably will benefit off of that too. And I can sit there and say, yeah, that's my child. That's not your job as a parent. Your job as a parent is to make sure when your child grows up, they become a productive man or lady in society. You teach them how to mature. You teach them to be patient with themselves. And see, if you are not a person who has, if you do not have a lot of patience, you should not be a parent. Some of you all out there, you might be listening live or you might be listening in the archives. Some of you all just need to go ahead and give your children up for adoption because you don't have the patience to be a parent to that child. That child makes a mistake, you going all upside their head. That's wrong. Pop, 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 pop. That's not a good parent. And I see it especially in Black folks. Anyway, folks, I come to the end of the first hour. So it's time for me to do some advertisements. And when I finish, we'll see you on the other side. You are listening to Black by Color only on CNM Radio.
For the past few months, we have not heard from our good friend and mentor, our very own Uncle Ben Fisher, but he has been around, though very busy, starting businesses and trying to get things going where he is. So his show has been put on hiatus for now, but in the coming month or so we are looking to see him return to CNM as he is about to retire and will give him more time to let us know all the things that he has a good ear for hearing. Bing's mellow voice and his expertise in engineering along with his love of America keeps us all informed as to what we should be doing and why the things are happening here in America as they are. The only side that seems to have consequences anymore are the right. The left can do anything they want, then blame it on the right, and always laying the blame where it shouldn't be, and they always get away with it. This has to stop. Listen to our very own Uncle Bing Fisher when American by Design returns soon on Sundays, where America always wins. Conservative Nation Media has been around for 11 years now to give you the news that is fit to know about the state of America and what the politicians in Washington and around our nation are doing to our freedoms. We have strived to give you the true news that you cannot find in the lamestream lying liberal media, and because of our love for this great nation, we are growing again. With new shows on CNN like American Statesman with Sally Baptiste and Crazy Nation Radio with Ron Reck, we are getting well-known names to join our network to make CNN a stronger voice for America. We have others who may be joining us too. American Statesman airs on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and Crazy Nation Radio airs mostly on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, with other times of the week when he feels the need is there. Join Conservative Nation Media for all of our shows on Friday, Saturday, Monday, and Tuesday with our Sunday show, American by Design, returning too. That's Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. With CNN, you get not just one, not two, but three great shows. The one I want to talk about today is Black by Color Only with Southwest Vincent Brown, based out of Durham, North Carolina. Black by Color Only is Conservative Nation Media's second show of the week on Saturdays. Right now, Black by Color Only is on hiatus until September, as Vince needed some time off to spend with his family. And of course, family is important, no matter what the Democrats have to say about it. So starting again in September, Black by Color Only with Vincent Brown will be airing on Saturdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. We can't wait for Black by Color Only to restart on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins.
Show. If you would like to be a guest on the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And I played that last advertisement because I thought it was a revised one. I'm not coming back in September. That was probably from a few years ago. But, you know, I've been on hiatus since October. And once again, it was because of concern for my health and, you know, needing a little bit of rest and whatever, and things just, you know, it seemed like every weekend something was coming up and everything. So that's why I waited till now to begin my show again. But I want to say that I really appreciate Robert Garding for having me on this platform. You know, I've been on this platform, I think, since 2018. He invited me to join his platform. I said, sure, you know, and you got some people out there who think I'm getting paid for doing this. I haven't been paid one thin red dime to do this show since I started it in 2009. So nobody's paying me to say what I say or whatever, you know. I already know to show due respect when I come on someone else's program. I know this is my channel. But I know when I come on here, there are certain things I'm not going to say because, you know, this is not my lone platform, you know. One of these days I'm hoping to start a podcast, I hope before March, you know, because, you know, I want to start my own podcast. I'm not going to leave Blog Talk Radio, but I want to start my own podcast. And you know, so I can be a little bit more, well, it's not that it's been a burden here on this show. It hasn't been, you know, it hasn't been a bondage or anything like that. You know, I've had some people tell me that, well, at least one person tell me that, you know, I'm following my white master and everything, you know, people saying stupid mess like that, you know, and I'm just on here because Mr. Garding, Robert Garding, I was on his show one day. He said, "Hey, would you like to join my lineup?" I said, "Sure," you know, and I've been doing that since, I think 2018, if I'm correct, you know, and, like I said, I don't get paid. All he asked me to do was to do the advertisements. I had to play the advertisements, you know, and I said, "Oh, okay, that's cool." You know, I don't have no problem with it. You know, now I'm pretty sure if I say something out of line, he's going to let me know. That's why I told myself I'm going to give the program its due respect. You know, people can call it, you know, trying to cape for the white man all they want to. You know, they can say it like that all they want to, but there's a level of respect. I don't care who you are, whether you're black, white, yellow, red, brown, olive skin, whatever. I don't care what your skin color is. I'm going to treat you with the due respect that you deserve. I'm not going to treat black people with more respect because I happen to be black. I'm treating everybody with equal respect. That's the Christianity in me. You know, a lot of people want to say these things about Christianity. Christianity, is, you know, it's a pagan religion and all that and everything. Well, it was because of Christianity why I show people their due respect. Because there have been times I have faced up to people and I wanted to give them a piece of my mind. But because of my Christianity, I held back. I said, nah, it's not worth it. And I, you know, people have this thing about, you know, Christianity is made up and it's a man-made religion and it's the white man's religion and all that stuff. You know, well, I know what it has done in my life. When I was a teenager, I used to cuss up a storm. And people today, they even tell me, they say, "Vincent, I can't imagine you cussing." You know, even when I was cussing, people were like, "Vincent, you cuss?" But when I became a Christian, that cussing went away. I don't cuss. You can go anywhere and ask anyone, "Does Vincent cuss a lot?" Nah, he don't. I don't think I ever heard him cuss. I just don't. I have no desire to. And you know, I know people, they use the colorful language and everything. Hey, do your thing, to each his own. But me, I just don't see how using cuss words is going to get my point across. And some people, they say, "Well, I heard a report that says people who cuss are more honest than people who don't." Yeah, well, they never met me. And I'm not going to cuss. I'm not going to cuss you out. There might be times you might peeve me off and everything, but I still won't cuss. And I've had people get me to my angriest point, and I still would not cuss. Why is that? Because the work Jesus did within me. Now, you can say whatever you want to about Christianity and what you heard about Christians in history and that, Constantine invented Christianity and Christians, you know, this and Christians that. But I get my Christianity from the Bible. When the Bible says, "Love thy neighbor," I take that very seriously. When it says, "Thou shalt not kill," I take that very seriously. When it says, "Obey your mother and your father," honor your mother and your father, I take that very seriously. When it says, "Forgive those who have wronged you," I take that very seriously. And you got a lot of people calling themselves Christians, but they don't do what the Bible says. Those people are not Christians. They call themselves Christians. And see, too, you got a lot of people who misrepresent Christianity, and people make that accusation, "Oh, this is what you Christians be doing." And they go on some misrepresentation of Christianity. And see, like I said earlier, the world already hates Jesus. Already hates God, doesn't want to know God, so it's always going to gravitate towards whatever denies God's existence. Oh, let's believe in evolution. Let's believe in the Big Bang Theory. Oh, this religion is Christian. This religion is Christian. This religion is Christian. This religion is Christian. And you got all these religions calling themselves Christians, so which one is right? And see, it causes a confusion in a lot of people, and people are like, well, how many denominations does Christianity need? It doesn't need any denominations. Now, I'm not saying if you're a Baptist or Presbyterian or something like that, that you're not a Christian. I'm not saying that. But you don't need to be a member of a denomination to be a Christian. I tell people I used to be a Roman Catholic. And, you know, a lot of times I can get in trouble with what I'm saying, with what I say about Roman Catholics. Roman Catholics are not Christians. And that's not a way to bash Roman Catholics or to beat them over the head. But they are not Christian. If you go into the Bible, you don't see anything about popes. You don't see anything about people praying to Mary. You don't see anything about rosaries. You don't see anything about cardinals. You don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says you need to cut out sexual activity in order to be a faithful priest to the Lord. You don't see in the Bible where it says that this priest in the Catholic Church, you got to address him as father. All of that is man-made. A lot of people, they still want to, and I say, okay, you want to follow that? That's fine. Be honest with you, some of the nicest people I ever met were Catholics, but their religion is not Christian. Well, who are you to judge? I'm not the one who's judging. I didn't write the Bible. See, that's a lot of people, they go off into that thing. Oh, you're judging. You're judging. Well, look, we make judgments every day. You sit there judging me for judging the Catholics. That makes you a hypocrite. The Bible doesn't say don't judge. You're supposed to judge. But you're supposed to judge righteously. See, that's the problem we have when it comes to issues of race. When you have one race of people denouncing another race of people because they judge them inferior because they have a different skin color, that's not judging righteously. Monday, we were having a holiday, Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, which is his actual birthday, January the 15th, 1929. And in his I Have a Dream speech, he said there's a day coming where people are going to be judged by the content of their character, not by the color of their skin. And sad to say, so many of us are still being judged by the color of our skin. Yeah, we black people, we've been judged by, no, and white people being judged by the color of their skin. And folks, let me just say this while I'm on it. You white folks out there who are always trying to cape for these black leaders and for CRT and everything, stop it. Stop it. All you're doing is kissing tail. You're sitting there kissing black people tail, and they're not going to appreciate you for it. They still see you as a white person. Okay, kiss my feet if you want to, but you're still white. Stop it, people. Stop it. If you know you're not a racist, you don't have to sit there and explain and cape and everything and say, oh, I'm not racist. Oh, I love you, black people. Like I mentioned before, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, by their fruit you shall know them. I don't have to go out of the way and explain something to you to get you to believe it, because you can sit there and see my actions. Because you can sit there and say, I heard what he said, but what he's doing isn't really fitting what he was saying. So white folks, you guilty white folks out there who are out there trying to push critical race theory in it, stop it. Because you're not earning any favors with these Afrocentrists or the apostles of blackness out here. You're not earning them. You're not earning any favors with them. I get a lot of black folks that tell me, "Oh, Vincent, you're just a coon and all that and everything." I say, you call me whatever you want to. You know, say about me whatever you want to. Doesn't mean it's true. It's not going to get me to back down. I'm not intimidated. You're not going to keep me from saying what I know to be the truth. And you can say I'm trying to kiss up the white people all you want to. You can say, you know, I had a guy last year, you know, he's not on Blog Talk Radio anymore. I don't think he is. But he wanted to call me a black comfort dog for white conservatives. I'm not trying to cape for conservatives. If the conservatives mess up, I'm going to tell them, hey, y'all messed up. To me, it's about the truth. It's not about politics. It's not about religion or politics with me. It's about the truth. That's all I want to be about, is the truth. Now, if people find that hard to understand, well, I can't help you. I wish I could reach into your brain and rearrange your, you know, your brain matter to get you to understand, but I can't do that. I'm not a magician. I'm not a miracle worker. And when you hear the sound of my voice, don't just take my word at face value. Go and check out what I'm talking about. Don't just keep getting confirmation from the information you have been getting. Go and check out what I'm saying. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not a perfect person. I can mess up too. I can get dates mixed up. I can get sentences mixed up. I can get philosophies mixed up. I can get it all mixed up. I'm, you know, and be honest with you all, I don't think I'm that special. I really don't. I do this as a way to vent, in a way, to let people know that there are other people in this country that have a voice that they want people to hear. That's the only reason why I do this. And I don't do this because I want to cut down a certain group of people or anything like that. That's not the area that I'm coming from. I don't do this because I have a grudge, you know, that I want to get off my shoulders or anything like that, or I want to tear somebody down. That's not how I operate. You know, the dude that I mentioned that called me the comfort dog, you know, he got booted off of Blog Talk Radio. I didn't want that to happen, but I can say he got his just reward. I was just as content to let him keep on doing what he said because, you know, he won't listen to me anyway. And then the, you know, news came out and said, Vincent, he's not on Blog Talk Radio anymore. They kicked him off. I wasn't like, yahoo, yeah, all right, yeah. No, I was like, oh, dog, okay. Well, I guess my attitude was, well, I guess it sucks to be him. If he does come back on Blog Talk Radio, I hope he has a changed thought process about why people don't agree with his point of view. Just because someone doesn't agree with your point of view doesn't mean that's a bad person. We all have a point of view. And it's up to us, it's our responsibility to learn the truth about our point of view. That's the problem I have with black folks, because they're so caught up in, slavery, and we're still being traumatized by slavery. How in the world can you be traumatized by something you didn't even go through? These white people, they put us in chains. Which white people? We black people, we go through this every day. Which black people? Because you don't speak for me. I can just as easily give you accounts of when black people try to hold me back from doing something. But you want to be focused on the white man all the time. The white man this and the white man that. Well, if the white man is that much of a burden to you, if America is the evil, racist country that you think it is, why do you live here? Why do you choose to live here? Why do you choose to go to work? Why do you choose to go to work and come home and pay bills in a country that you don't like, a country that is not forcing you to stay here? Do you know how many millions of people live in countries where they can't even leave because their governments don't want them to leave? Now, here in the United States, you're free to leave. I was highly disappointed when Donald Trump won the election 2016. All them people that said they were moving to Canada, they decided to stay here. I said, I knew they weren't going anywhere. Because they know deep down this is the best country in the world. They know it. America is not perfect. No country is. But it's the best country in this world, I guarantee you. And if you like being loyal to another country, that's fine. No, I don't like America. I'm from Cambodia. I like Cambodia. Okay, well, that's fine. I have no problem with you wanting to be more loyal to Cambodia than you are to the U.S. But don't sit here in this country and enjoy the perks and the opportunities in this country, and you're sitting here complaining about this country. You're living good. You're living in a nice house, driving a nice car, got a nice job because of this country, and you want to sit here and tear this country down. If that's the way you feel about this country, I tell you what, get you one of the world maps, get you a dart and a blindfold, throw that dart at the map. And whatever country that dart lands on, with the exception of the United States of America, then won't you go live there? Hopefully your dart doesn't land in the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean. That's going to be pretty uncomfortable. But why do you live here? I hear people, they come here, they talk about how bad the U.S. is. That why did you even make the attempt to even immigrate here? The only thing my wife probably doesn't like about this country is the food. She likes her African food. But you talk to my wife, she will tell you the United States is the best country in the world. She will tell you that because she has seen what oppression is. And let me tell you, compared to what she went through, we're not going through oppression in this country. Oh, we black people, we're being oppressed. I'm going to kneel down during the national anthem because this country oppresses black people. But you'll stand up for God Save the Queen when you go to England, though. Show me where this country is oppressing black people. Because I haven't met it yet. Oh, you're lucky. You're lucky. First of all, I don't believe in luck. Second of all, like I said before, I'm not that special. If anyone should be going through this oppression that they keep talking about, it should be me. I don't live in a nice fancy home. I don't drive a fancy car. I live in a two-bedroom apartment, 750 square feet. Would love a house. That's why I wanted to get my photography and everything up, you know, so I can increase my finances so I can be able to get a house. But if anyone should have gone through oppression, it's me. And I don't see it. I just don't. Don't get me wrong. There are white people who don't like black people in this country. Yes, there is. Every now and then that racism shows up. But guess what? When you talk about racism, talk about the black on white racism as well, because that goes on too. A lot of times when we think about racism, we're always thinking about what white people did to black people. But what about what black people do to white people? And we've even convinced ourselves that, oh, black people can't be racist because we don't have the power. We don't have the authority, which is one of the stupidest statements I ever had, ever heard in my life. Why can't you be racist? You hate a white person, right? Yeah. That means you're racist. No. It just means I'm prejudiced. It means I'm biased. Well, that's what racism is, dumb head. That's what racism is. No, you got to understand. No. Apparently you don't understand. We black people, we can't be racist. And you, once again, All you're trying to do is put that burden of responsibility on one group of people. That's all you're doing. You're not even taking account of your own actions. You're not even taking responsibility for your own actions. You just want to put it off on somebody else to absolve yourself of that responsibility. One of the main reasons why I don't watch NFL games anymore, I've been watching them on replays and stuff like that, but I don't sit down and watch an NFL game because the NFL has gone woke. Every time I watch a replay, you know, the highlights of an NFL game, I always see that phrase, end racism, in the end zone. End racism. First of all, you're not going to end racism. As long as sinful state remains in this world, you're not going to end racism. So that statement is more of an eyesore than anything. And when you think about racism, like I said before, we always think about the white on black variety because of some stories that the media, trimmed up to make us believe a certain thing, and we still think that racism against black people is still going on the way it was in the 50s. No, it's not. I've been able to go to any hotel I wanted to. I've been able to sit in any restaurant I wanted to. Never had someone say, we don't want you, we don't want your kind up in here. Not one time. My wife and I, we will make a trip to Wilmington or Myrtle Beach or whatever. In Wilmington, they had a major race riot at the beginning of the 20th century. But I've never had a problem getting a hotel in Wilmington. Or Myrtle Beach, or any of them other places. Never had a problem. So where's the oppression?
Well, the cops, they'll pull black people over more than they will white people.
Like the cop knows what color the person is in the car that they're after. They'll see you speeding. That cop doesn't know that it's a black person or a white person at the wheel. All they know is that someone's speeding. And I see it so many times, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I see it so many times with these clips on YouTube. Black people get pulled over or they get accosted because they were caught shoplifting. What? What did I do? What did I do wrong? No. I'm scared. And then they turn an anthill into a mountain. You got pulled over for speeding. Now you're going to jail for assaulting a police officer, resisting arrest, spitting in the cop's face and everything. Instead of saying, you know what? Yep, I did it. Shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have been stupid enough to do it, but here I am. I'm going to get my lawyer after you. I see it so many times. Like, girl, just do what the cop said. And who, can someone explain to me who these sovereign citizens are? These sovereign citizens, these people they're caught on an American road speeding. And they think the police are not supposed to pull them over because, oh, I'm really not a citizen of this country. I'm a sovereign citizen. You can't pull me over. Yes, I can, because just because you say you're not a citizen of this country, we still have laws. I've seen so many of these sovereign citizens. It gets on my nerve. And then they pull out some card that they think is an ID card. As if the police officer is like, oh, The police officers know nothing about this sovereign citizen junk. You know why? Because it's garbage. You get caught speeding in this country, the police are going to pull you over. You can't pull me over. You can't pull me over. Okay, well, watch. Get out of the car. What? You can't arrest me? Okay, well, I'm going to put these handcuffs on you. Well, you can't do this to me. I'm not a citizen of this country. Well, you broke our laws. Now, whoever your leader or whatever is, they need to explain that to the police officers. Because there's no law that you can't pull over a person who's a so-called sovereign citizen. He's a citizen of the Moorish nation or some crazy mess they be saying. I'd be like, what in the name of Roanoke, Virginia are you talking about? Sandra Bland. You know, a lot of people want to blame Sandra Bland. They want to blame her death on the police officers. When Sandra Bland had to just acknowledge the police officer pulled her over because she was changing lanes without the turn signal. No big problem. She probably would have paid a fine or something like that, or the police officer would have let her go. What does she want to do? Cop an attitude with the police officer. Things escalated. She ends up in jail. What happens when she's in jail? She takes a trash bag and hangs herself, but they say the police are responsible for her death. And even when they took her picture, her mugshot, there were people saying, oh, she was already dead. They killed Sandra Bland. No, they didn't. She killed herself. She murdered herself. And then you got people saying, well, why'd they put her in a cell with a trash bag in there? You know they wanted her to kill herself. How they know? Oh, yeah, let's put this trash can in here with this trash bag. Maybe Miss Bland will hang herself because we don't like black people. The person who was responsible for Sandra Bland's death was Sandra Bland because she wanted a cop an attitude like I see so many of these people doing. So many of these black people doing, and then they want to get up there and say that, if it's a black person, they're going to get shot and killed by the police. Well, I see why, because you want to cop an attitude with the police. The police ain't going to come up there and say, oh, I just thought I was pulling over a speeder, but you're a black person. Boom. Because you got white people who cop attitudes with the police officers, guess what? They meet the same fate. It ain't just black people. So get off your high horse thinking you're all that special. This has nothing to do with you being black. It has all to do with you being stupid. Yes, we got officers out there who think they can pull their authority around. They think they're something special because they're police officers, but they are not the majority. Anyway, let me see if I can. I got a phone call here, so you know what time. You know what time it is. That's my fruit bat alert. That means I'm about to go to the phones. Now, if you're a person who doesn't like to be patient and likes to, interrupt people while they're talking over people, don't want to sit down and listen, you want to make your point by making using profanity and character assassinations and ad hominem attacks and trolling and gaslighting, I would advise you to hang up right now, because if if you engage in that type of activity when I pick up this phone, I will be more than happy to oblige you, okay? I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me, but, you know, just be respectful in your dialogue on this program. But anyway, having said that, let me get this caller, if I can. Don't know why the button's not clicking. Okay, there it is. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. Hello, caller. Do I have the volume up? Yeah, the volume's up. Hello, caller. They're probably just listening. Sometimes I get people that will call in and they'll just listen. So that, and that's fine. That's fine. But, you know, like I said, you know, we got to get off our high horses and think that, you know, because, you know, something is happening to us. And it seems to be happening to a lot of us that it's a racist problem. You know, nobody ever says that, you know, 9 times out of 10, a black person is going to cop an attitude with the police more than a white person does. Or maybe black people speed more often than white people do. You know, nobody ever says that. Nobody ever, all they say is, oh, they're just doing this because we're black. You know, this skin color, you know, they'll just let the white people speed, but they see a black person speeding. And like I said, when you're a police officer, I can guarantee you 9 times out of 10, when they see someone speeding, especially if it's at nighttime, but it can go for daytime too, they don't know the color of the person who's speeding. 9 times out of 10, they'll probably figure that out when they get to the window. I gave the account of a little more than 10 years ago. I was down in Florida, and we were coming through Alabama, and my wife, you know, me and my wife, you know, we were driving through this town close to the Florida line. And the speed limit was 35 miles an hour, but I was doing 55. And I didn't see this police officer at the gas station. And I was hoping he didn't see me, but when I saw him crank that car up and come on the road, I was already on the side of the road before he even turned his blinkers on, his flashers. I was already on the side of the road. And he came up to the car. He said, sir, you know why I pulled you out? I said, yeah, because I was speeding. He said, can I have your license, registration? Gave it to him. He didn't reach for his gun. He didn't tell me to get out the car. He didn't yell at me. He was very respectable. And I'm sitting there. The only reason why I was nervous was because I didn't want to get a ticket. I was like, well, maybe he'll let me off, you know, whatever. But if he didn't let me off, hey, I shouldn't have been speeding. But he didn't let me off, and I had to pay a $172 ticket. Oh, that ticket was expensive. Yeah, well, I shouldn't have been speeding. That's the law. I mean, he didn't say anything derogatory to my wife. He didn't even speak to my wife. He didn't even say, oh, hey, ma'am, how you doing, you know, and everything. Told me to get my license, registration. I gave it to him. He came back, told me all the deal about the ticket and everything. Have a nice day. Hey, but $172, what are you going to cop an attitude for? Oh, I'm black. You just looking for a black person. No, I was speeding. I was doing 20 miles an hour above the speed limit. And you know what? I haven't gotten a ticket in more than 10 years now. That was in 2013. That was in December of 2013. Here it is, January of 2014. I haven't gotten a ticket since. So when people tell me that, you know, police are just looking for black people to harass, well, he didn't harass me. I harassed myself. And the thing that I hated about it was I'm in another state that I'm not familiar with. But guess what? I couldn't sit there and say, well, I'm not a member of the, I'm not a citizen of the state of Alabama. I'm a citizen of the state of North Carolina. You can't touch me. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, right. Okay, let me see. I got another person here. Let's see if I get this person on here. Hello, welcome to the show.
How come you didn't say look out for the wombats or the womb flies or whatever you say?
The fruit bats.
Oh yeah, that's the name.
I did play my siren about a few minutes ago. I got someone on here. I guess they're just listening. I don't know, but
yeah, I didn't hear that. You know what, Vince? I know you're saying it's a lesson that you're talking about. You know, as long as you're not agitating, you know, you're not poking the bear in a traffic stop, then most likely nothing's going to happen. But I want to know something. How many blacks actually get accosted by cops, even if they, the black drivers, even if they stick their hands out the window and don't say anything to the cops? Because that's the issue that I have when I go on black shows. I pretty much say the same thing you do, but I don't do it with a lot of research behind me. I just assume that if a person keeps their mouth shut, that the cops, unless the cop is a real jackass and has a bad day,
yeah,
the cop is just going to give the ticket and let the person go. So I thought maybe you might know, you know, what your stats are.
I really don't know what the stats are. I would say if I were to make a guess, and this is just a guess, probably 1%.
Really?
You know, I would say probably 1%. You know, because I don't think a lot of your typical police officers are out there just to, you know, give you a problem. I really don't. I could be wrong. Don't get me wrong. And like I said, that's just a guess. You know, but I think a lot of these stories that we hear, a lot of these quote unquote horror stories that we hear, if people would just learn to show respect, we wouldn't be hearing a lot of these stories that we hear. And of course, our news media, that these are the stories that they're going to put out there in the front to make you think this goes on all the time, but it doesn't go on all the time. Don't get me wrong. There are racist cops out there. I really believe that. I really do, but I don't believe that they are in the vast majority. Really. I don't even think it's 10%. I don't even think it's 5% of cops are racist cops. I really don't. Now, like I said, I could be wrong.
When you say racist, do you mean cops who act on racist thoughts, or do you think, or are you saying racist in the fact that they might have racist thoughts?
I'd say both. I'd say both scenarios. Yeah. Because, I do believe that there are cops that don't like black people. But then again, on that same level, I'm pretty sure there are black cops that don't like white people. I mean, it could go both ways.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, I've hung out with cops. I've had poker parties with cops. I've had them over at my house. And it's more than 5% who have racist thoughts. How they act on it, don't know. Okay?
Okay.
But being that I can go where you can't, I hear what you don't.
Okay.
So I can tell you that they are racist. Now, they don't act on it, but, and I agree with you in that, you know, if a lot of blacks, same thing with whites, if they keep their mouth shut, a lot of it would not happen.
Yeah.
I was just wondering what the stats. I should look it up, but I don't even know if there are stats.
Me too.
You know.
Me too. I need to look it up too.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't know if there are stats that that indicate, well, this percentage of black people didn't do a thing and yet were accosted or killed. I don't know if there are stats like that. I imagine there were. Oh, I remember now. There was I think it was in L.A. There was a black cop who did experiments with he and his crew, and they got, they were hassled by the white cops, but the black cops were pretending, or let's say they had cameras when there were drivers that were pulled over, and it showed a certain number of cops that were racist. So I forgot about that. But I don't know about the stats overall, like from the FBI or the Department of Justice.
And see, here's the thing about me too. If you are a racist, I really don't care. I really don't. You know, and just like you said, there might be racist cops out there, but they don't act on it when they pull you over. See, I can appreciate someone like that. Now, if you're doing it, if you're just doing, you know, because you're a bonehead and you're just doing this because you just don't like black people, now I got a problem. But if you're just a person who is just generally a racist and you just generally don't like black people, but you don't act on that racism, you know, to the point that, you know, some do, I really have no problem with it because I'm like, you know what? My life is too short. You know, hey, I might come to your restaurant and you say, hey, we don't allow black people in here. We don't let them N-words in here. I'll be like, okay, well, all right, you have a nice day. But I will tell people, y'all, don't go to that restaurant because they don't like black people. But I'm not going to try to get the government to shut you down. You know, I can't force you to say, okay, the government's in, so you got to stop being racist. You know, I'll be like, you know what? I definitely don't want to go to that restaurant because you don't know what he's doing to my food in
absolutely.
That kitchen.
Absolutely. You don't know what's behind there in the kitchen. Absolutely not.
Yeah, so.
I happen to believe that if white people don't want black people in their establishment, they have the right.
They have
and
the right, yeah.
If black people don't want white people in their not in the neighborhood, but in their shops, they have the right. Now, neighborhoods are different. That's public. But in your own private establishment, you should have the right to decide who you want and who you don't want.
Yeah. And I have no problem with that. I have absolutely no problem. You come in and be like, nah, we don't want these N-words in here. Okay. And see, the N-word doesn't offend me. It doesn't offend me. You know, some people it offends. It doesn't offend me. You can call me whatever you want to. You know, but I agree with you. If that's his establishment, he doesn't want black people in his establishment. Okay, well, it sucks to be you. Okay. You know.
Yeah. Right.
It's a whole lot of other places where I could go to that'll accept me, you know.
That's right. And you can always on social media badmouth the restaurant. That's your right too.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, that's the problem I think we have in this country. We always want to get the government involved in something like this, and then that just gives the government that much more power. Instead of saying, okay, well, I know that I can't go into that restaurant because I'm black, but this is just one restaurant, but I got thousands of other restaurants I can go to if I want to, and they'll accept me. So what? I don't care. You know, you don't like black people. Okay, that's your prerogative. It sucks to be you, but hey.
Yeah, everybody has their. You know what happened to me? I wanted to start a social club only for natural born Americans over the age of 60.
Yeah.
Couldn't be allowed on the internet because of this Marxist woke leftist crap. They called it discrimination. And it could be offensive to other people.
Wow.
Ay-ay-ay.
Yeah, see that yeah. And see the social media stuff, you know, YouTube and Facebook, they need to grow up. They really do, because of this woke mess going around. And you know, I mean, I see nothing wrong with you wanting 61-year-old and over be like, oh, okay, I don't belong here then. Let me start my group with people who are 55 and younger. You know, I mean, come on, really.
And not only that, I mean, yeah, I'm talking about natural-born Americans, no immigrants, okay? And I gave my reasons why. And I said, it's not discrimination. It's called preferences. It's like when people marry of the what of the people that they want to marry and they don't want to marry, people that they don't want to marry, is called preferences. As long as you're not harming somebody, then
exactly
bug off. You know,
yeah. I mean, really,
don't bother.
Yeah. Because I know when I got married, I preferred black women. I ain't had no problem with people marrying a white woman. I had no problem with it at all. I was like, hey, you want to marry a white woman? You know, fine. I even gave myself some room saying, hey, if me and a white woman, we start hitting it off and everything, I guess I'm going to marry me a white woman. But I preferred the black woman, you know. So it wasn't going to be like I would have treated her different. If I married her, I wasn't going to treat her different. I was still going to give her the same respect I would have given a black woman, but my preference was black women. But I have no problem with people marrying outside their race or anything like that, mixed race, and I have no problem with it. Hey, you do you.
Yes, right. As long as people aren't depriving. See, now when I get into discussions about systemic racism, I say, okay, so you believe that you're a victim of systemic racism. Now, I agree there's day-to-day racism, you know, where black people don't like white people don't like black people, Asian people don't like both people don't like Asians. But can you show me, and I've said this on shows, can you show me how in the majority today, how there is systemic racism depriving black people on a significant basis of jobs, neighborhoods, and resources? I haven't gotten an answer to that yet, except for the typical answer. Well, look all around you. Look how black people are being killed, and that's about it. Now that, I have to do some real research. And I know in the judicial system, blacks are getting way, way bad treatment. And I can empathize with that. But when you're talking about black people in general, systemically now, I mean, by the government, by private sectors, saying, okay, we've got 10 whites applying for the job, 10 blacks applying for the job. We're going to take 8 out of the 10 whites and only 2 out of the 10 blacks, yet all of them are equally qualified. Now, that's racism. But if that doesn't happen, right, where there's 8 out of 10 are accepted for the job from whites and maybe 7 out of 10 are accepted for the job from blacks, I still don't consider that racism because that's only a one person difference.
Yeah, and plus you got to look into how many black people live in a given area or something like that. Like if you live in a town that in a chocolate city like let's say Baltimore, 9 times out of 10 people you're gonna pull over are gonna be black, you know. That's not racist.
Yeah.
That's just, you know, there are a lot of black people that live in Baltimore. You know, here in Durham, we got a lot of black people live in Durham. You know, you're going to pull over your number of black people. You know, that doesn't mean that the cops are being racist. It just means that you broke the law, and it just happens to be that certain people of your race keep on breaking the law, you know. And it doesn't mean that the police are racist, even though there are racist police officers out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But again, it doesn't matter what kind of negative feelings a person has, just as long as they don't act on them. If they don't act on them, they're not affecting any type of harmful behavior. And the other person who would be the victim has an opportunity to do their own thing, you know? So I just, you know, I always get hung up on because I don't like discussion. And then when I get in discussions with white people who talk about how they think that the black buck, you know, is taking over, you know, then I say, well, if the black buck is taking your job and you're white, what does that say about you?
it goes all around. It can go both sides. That's how it is, man. It could go on both sides. It could go either way. That door swings both ways. And that's what I'm trying to get people to understand, why I come from the area that I do. Because, you know, I get called all these crazy names being a black person and thinking the way I do because I'm an independent thinker. I like to think for myself. I like to, you know, I like to take things in and say, hey, how do I see this actually happening instead of just jumping to conclusions and saying, oh, well, the white people are just holding us back, because a lot of those black people are holding ourselves back. You know, I discussed earlier in the show where I wanted to do photography back in the 90s, but because I held myself back, I can't blame white people for that. I can't blame them for why I'm not good at photography right now. I can look at myself and say, well, I didn't put in the work, you know. Yeah, and sometimes, you're going to have those obstacles. One of the obstacles is going to be race, you know. But we live in the freaking United States of America. It's not going to be it's not going to hold you back. It shouldn't have to hold you back. Yeah, you're going to have, look, most people who have held me back from doing anything were black folks. It wasn't white folks. Mm-hmm. It was black folks, you know, so. I tell folks like that.
Oh, yeah. I know Judge Joe Brown agrees with you.
Yeah, yeah. I love Judge Joe Brown. Best judge ever.
Well, I'd like to get into a conversation with him about, he believes that the men should step up. The men should step up. I'm going to have to ask him a question one day when they let me on the show again and say to him, you know, listen, Judge, supposing now, you're always talking about men should step up, protect the women, and their role in life is to be protector and provider. And he would say yes. Mm-hmm. I would say, have you ever been on a cruise ship? He'd probably say either yes or no. I'd say, now suppose you went on a cruise ship on a vacation with your grandson. And there was a cruise ship that happened last year. The cruise ship had to stay outside the harbor because there was something faulty. I think it was in danger of sinking. But I would just say this to him. I'd say, okay, you and your grandson, the ship is now sinking like the Titanic. And there's only one lifeboat left. You and your grandson are running towards it. And at the same time, there is maybe... And who is that fat chick? He hates that fat chick. The one that,
Lizzo.
That does the Lizzo?
I think her name is Lizzo.
Lizzo. So I'm going to say to him, okay, Judge, you and your grandson are rushing towards the last lifeboat, and so is Lizzo and Cardi B. You're going to say to your grandson, hey, son, you and I should give up these last two seats to these women because they are female. So I'm going to ask, when I get on the show next time, I'm going to ask him that.
I get what you're saying there. I get what you're saying. we've run out of time on the show. Wait a minute. Let me see if I can get this last caller. Someone just called in.
All right. Oh, and by the way, Suzette has joined the network. I don't know if you know her, but she's joined the network.
Who is that again?
Suzette. She used to be a BTR host on BTR and on Spreaker, too, and she's joined the network now. She starts next week.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, that's cool. Hello, caller. Where are you calling from?
Who, me? I'm calling from New Mexico.
Okay.
It's Robert.
Oh, hey, Robert.
Now, see, I heard a lot of bad stories about this guy named Robert, though. Don't take his call.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've caused a lot of bad stories.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing good. How was your vacation?
Me or Vince?
Vince.
Oh, okay.
it was pretty good. I got a lot of rest and everything, ready to take on this year, man. Ready to get it going on. Had a couple of health scares last year. Hopefully I won't, you know, have to go through that again, but I'm good. I'm 100%.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to see you back.
Yes. And I appreciate you. I see you on Rumble sometimes, so.
I'm usually there almost every day, but I haven't been the past couple of weeks because we've had things happen here. Both me and my wife's car got broken into this last weekend, and broke out the driver's side window. So I've had to do some jury rigging with that, but they didn't steal anything except for a charger for a phone.
Oh, wow. Mm. Okay. Well, that's good. But, you know.
they stole it out of my wife's car, and then they got in my car, and I had two tires in the back seat, and they moved them around, and I had a charger in my radio, too, that was sitting there, and they didn't take it. But they didn't take anything else, so.
We're going to take
something,
you know.
Or a charger.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, I've got some couple of bright solar lights that work with motion, and I know darn good and well they were coming on, so it probably bothered them. And I was going to call and let you know that Suzette was joining us. I'm going to be talking to her tomorrow about the time for her show. It's going to be on this next Wednesday.
No, she said.
Okay.
Well, her and I thought about Wednesday because
I was encouraging her to go to Wednesday or Thursday.
Ron has his show. Yeah, Ron has his show on Tuesday, and she didn't want to interfere with that. And we don't have anything going on Wednesday. So, we're gonna talk sometime this weekend, and she'll tell me what the name of her show is so I can make an ad for it and everything. So we got a new player on CNM now.
Yeah,
that's
I just
great.
Tell Vince
that's,
about that. Yeah.
Is
I heard
the same
you when
as
I came
Bring It
in.
Boy Ye?
That's his
Suzette,
wife.
Yeah,
his
okay.
Wife.
Okay, so she is getting a show. That's great. That's great. So I can call in and harass her instead of the other way around.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Absolutely.
And then there's another one. There's another one that Sally with American Statesman, she's thinking about coming over too. So, and maybe
all
we'll
right.
be getting another one. So,
yeah.
That's all right. So that makes four shows, right?
Four or five, yeah. I'm not counting. It's about five because Joe from Montana did a show this Wednesday, this last week, Wednesday.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Okay.
And
that sounds good.
And Bing has been considering coming back. He's in the process of coming back now, but he's not sure when that'll happen. But hopefully, he'll come back.
Hey, look,
soon,
okay.
So.
Hey, Bob, you've got something which you can offer people, and they should take advantage of it. They didn't do it the first time around, but as we all know, BTR likes to fuck up. They do it a few more times. I think a network would be pretty good on the offering for people. You know what I mean? Huh?
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons why Suzette came over to your network, because I was encouraging her to do so. I told her to give you a call.
That's what she told me.
Yeah.
Okay. That's great. That is great. That's great news.
And
yeah.
Another thing, too, Vince, if we have enough people in the network, let's say we grow to 10, we can grow to 20, and we can become something worthwhile called clout.
Mm-hmm.
I would think
that
if BTR fucks up again, I don't know if you'll, if, you know, right? If they fuck up again, why don't the people on the network boycott the goddamn place and go over to Spreaker or go over to some other place?
And I think that's why a lot of people, some people are choosing to do a podcast. I know a friend of mine, she left Blog Talk Radio, go to a podcast, and some people are going to Rumble. I still want to keep Blog Talk Radio, to be honest with you, even though they've been messing up and everything. But I still want to do my podcast, too, so I want to have a multi-faceted type of show.
Yeah. I don't mean to definitively list to leave, but if 10, 20 people threatened boycott, that's going to be a lot more effective to get a result from them as opposed to they're just saying, well, hold on to every single individual email that comes in asking for a refund.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
It doesn't mean that people have to leave, but the threat of leaving has more impact as a group than it does as an individual person.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm working on right now, is trying to get enough people onto CNM that we can become a force to be reckoned with.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. That's
because,
a good thing.
We can do more than one show a day.
Oh, hell yeah. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah.
Joe Gibson was the first one who wanted to jump in. Other people didn't. If he comes
I've talked with him too, and he's thinking about it. So we've got
the
movement going, which is cool.
Yeah, look, for the prices that they would pay to be in your network, as opposed to being in other networks, and compared to somebody like Freedomizer, Proof, come on.
Yep.
Boy, wouldn't it be something if you got Freedomizer on here? Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness.
You know the funny
part. Well, Lorianne, who was the co-host of Bob on Fridays, she had her own show in Freedomizer and left. Proof does not have a good reputation. I don't think he's got the host that he had two years ago are no longer around, as far as I know. Dahl's no longer there. V's no longer there. The seeds of change are there.
Brother Warren's no longer there.
Who is it?
Brother Warren.
He was on the Proof. He was on the Proof Negative.
He's somebody else. But he was on New Orleans Wake Up. He's gone.
Yeah, he's gone. Well, I mean, but he was guilty of. In my opinion, he was guilty of either defamation or slander.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think it was mostly Lorianne that got that one done, because she really went after him.
She did not appreciate being called a white lesbian with crocodile tears.
Oh my gosh! No, he did not. He did not go there.
He did.
I see why he's gone now. I thought it was because of me why he was gone. I thought it was because of me, oh, my God.
No, Laurie Ann started a nice little letter-writing campaign, and you joined in, so that got him off the air. I heard him on one particular BTR show. He was complaining about that people were too afraid of his show, and that's why they had him removed.
No.
Yeah.
No, but essentially what I did was I was putting down that he was causing trouble on my show. He was causing trouble on your show, Vince, and he was causing trouble on Lorianne's show. And then Lorianne came and took clips that she had actually taken from the chat rooms and sent them to Blog Talk Radio. That's what.
Wow.
Yeah, is there a special email to contact them? Because I got a troll, which I keep telling this bitch, leave me alone with letting me know about your show. And I've warned her nicely, and she's taking me off of her text mailing list. But then she put me back on. I got to get rid of her. Jeez. Ah, man. That's why I've got this number, to get rid of trolls. Trolls sometimes call me. If I'm on their show, I don't even call in, but they have the number. I had one guy three or four weeks ago give me a call. He was nice and polite, but still a troll, asking me to come back because I saw your number, sir or ma'am, and blah, 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 blah. But I don't want to be bothered with the trolls from PTR.
Yeah, well, I just had to come on and let Vince know that he was missed.
I miss you guys too. You. I'll be honest with you. Yeah, I miss you guys too. You know, I'm ready to take this year on, man.
So 2024 is going to be a bitch.
I essentially stopped putting your ad out there until yesterday, and I put it out because I had several people ask me after I did it, is he still around? I said, yeah, he'll probably be back tomorrow or next week. So
yeah.
So now I'm working on Bing. I've got to get him back, and pretty soon we'll have a full week.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it.
Look, we got Vince, Suzette, me, Lorianne. If she hadn't paid off in full, she would have been on by now. But we got three. We got you, Bob. Yeah, we got Lorianne. Oh, Sally, Mike, right?
Yeah.
Right. So you, Sally, Joe Gibson, me, Vince, that's five. All we need is five more, and other people would be pretty influenced by 10 being in a network, and by all 10 saying that they're treated fairly. Well, except for me, I like to badmouth you, so don't worry about that.
Well, at least we have fun.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you guys, I'm gonna have to leave you.
Okay.
My time is up, and my wife has cooked dinner back here, and I'm gonna have to get on off. And y'all should see me next week, God willing.
You have a good day.
Okay, man.
Have a good weekend.
Have a good time too. Thank you all for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Sure.
I'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right now. Well, folks, we're in the archives, but that was a great conversation. Next week, God willing, I should have another edition of Black by Color Only. So bring your family, bring your friends, and listen to a great show. This is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. Y'all have a good week.